Today is the feast of the most holy name of Jesus. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. In those days, Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, "Ye princes of the people and ancients, hear. If we this day are examined concerning the good deed done to the infirm man, by what means he hath been made whole, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God hath raised from the dead, even by him this man standeth here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved." Please stand for today's Holy Gospel, which is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus are the words of today's most holy gospel. Please be seated. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish you all a very blessed new year. I realized on Thursday that I failed to do this, so I pray that God will grant you many graces and many blessings during this new year. Also, those who would like to have masses said, my list is not too long, not compared to some of the priests in the United States. So if you would like to have masses said, you could leave your mass intentions with me after mass today. His name shall be called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, the sublime dignity of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is indicated in the words of today's Gospel, which show us that this name was conceived, this name was assigned in heaven by Almighty God Himself, and was announced to the Blessed Virgin Mary by the Archangel Gabriel. Such an origin and such a means of announcing to the Blessed Mother that she was to be the mother of our Blessed Lord were indeed fitting of the name of Him who indeed was not only man, but was God Himself. As we owe the person of God, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, all respect and homage, so also we owe His name the highest reverence of which we are capable of giving. Unfortunately, we need not look far around us today in the world we live in to see that the name of God is far too often dishonored. And thus it is necessary for us today to meditate for a few minutes on the second commandment and recall our duties towards the holy name of God. What then does the second commandment of Almighty God require of us? This precept, which was handed down, we know, to Moses and is told to us in the Old Testament, demands the due reverence be given to all the names by which Almighty God is designated. We honor God's name in many ways. Firstly, by publicly acknowledging Him as our Lord and our Master. He is our Creator, and we acknowledge and honor Him as such. Secondly, by respectfully hearing and meditating upon His divine word, the words which we hear through the church, through the preaching of the priests, and so forth. And thirdly, by praising and thanking Almighty God for both in adversity and in prosperity. Oftentimes, we thank God when we are prosperous, but we forget to thank God, as Job did in the Old Testament, even for his sufferings. We must thank God in adversity as well as prosperity. Fourthly, by imploring his assistance, by asking his help, when we're tempted, when we find ourselves in difficulties, we must implore God for his assistance. And finally then, we honor God's name by taking lawful oaths and by taking vows. An oath is a calling upon God to witness the truth of what we are saying or the promises that we make. To be lawful, an oath must have several qualities. First of all then, the one who is swearing the oath must affirm what he believes to be the truth. So we must be telling the truth when we take the oath. Or the promise we make, we must indeed intend to fulfill. So we don't make a promise that we do not intend to keep. Secondly then, it must be made prudently, and the matter which it concerns must be something which is serious. Okay, we don't take an oath. We don't swear an oath for something which is trivial. It must be something which is serious. And finally then, it must be just. That is, that one must never affirm or promise something which is unlawful. So we must not lie under oath, for example. We must not promise to do something which is sinful. This would be improper. An unjust oath not only does not oblige us, but it would be in fact a sin for us to keep this oath or to keep an unjust promise that we have made. It is lawful then for us to take oaths under these conditions which we have mentioned. Scripture tells us this. And also then, we know that an oath is in fact a profession of our faith in God. And it promotes, of course, justice and peace among men. So we may have to go to a court to testify. We have to swear an oath that we are telling the truth. We put our hand on the Bible and we swear that the evidence we are giving is truthful. And so if men lied under oath, we can imagine what our justice system would in fact be. So it promotes justice amongst men. Our blessed Lord, we may recall that our blessed Lord reproved the Jews because they were making oaths, they were taking oaths for trivial occasions, for trivial matters, without necessity. But this does not mean that he is forbidding us to take those oaths which are lawful. A vow is a deliberate promise then that we make to Almighty God regarding something which is good, something which is within our power to fulfill, and something which is going to be pleasing to God. The one taking the vow binds himself under pain of sin to keep this promise which he is making. Therefore, we can see then that the second commandment of Almighty God requires that we keep all lawful oaths and vows. Now that we have seen what the second commandment requires of us, let us take a quick look at what it forbids. First of all then, this commandment forbids the irreverent use of the name of Almighty God or of any holy thing, especially in a cursing or in a blasphemous manner. So if we're wishing evil upon someone, or if we're speaking contemptuously to Almighty God, or we're speaking contemptuously of sacred things, these then would be sins against the second commandment. Secondly then, this commandment forbids perjury or taking of false oaths. So if we lie under oath, this is perjury. If we're telling a lie, we're calling upon God to bear witness to our lies. This obviously is going to be a sin against the second commandment. Thirdly then, it forbids swearing an oath without sufficient reason or swearing an oath by a false god, or by disrespectfully using the words of sacred scripture, or by in fact failing to keep our lawful oaths or our lawful vows that we take. And finally then, this commandment forbids cursing, which of course is calling down evil upon any of God's creatures, or of speaking profanely, which is speaking lightly of holy things, or of using bad language. So all these things then are forbidden by the second commandment. My dear faithful, the second commandment is the only one of the commandments which, in fact, if we read through the Ten Commandments in the scriptures, we see that it is accompanied by a threat from Almighty God. And this shows us then how hateful to Almighty God these sins against the second commandment are. The perjurer and the blasphemer, very often, if we look throughout history, they have been visibly punished in this world. Those who have called upon God to witness their falsehood and their lies, God punishes them in this world. We simply need to look 20, 30, 40 years ago, and we can see then that it is not that difficult to refrain from speaking profanely or using cursing or blaspheming or speaking using bad language. Years ago, people would not speak this kind of language in front of ladies. They would not speak this way in front of those whom they worked for or any kind of a decent person. And so it is not impossible then for us, my dear friends, to refrain from this type of speaking. Profanity and blasphemy, in fact, are the language of hell and the devils, whereas praise and glorification of Almighty God's name is the language of heaven. So let us practice now in our speech here on this earth that language which we hope indeed to be using for all eternity. Let us then make reparation for these sins, a blasphemy, these sins against Almighty God in His holy name. Let us make a habit of saying the divine praises quite frequently. It can be part of our morning prayers, part of our daily prayers. We can make it part of our prayers after communion to make reparation to Almighty God for these sins which are committed against His holy name. So let us pray then, my dear friends, during this Mass. Let us ask Almighty God to grant us the grace that we would use the language of heaven, that we would not be guilty of these sins of offending God and His holy name, but on the contrary, that we would praise the holy name of our blessed Lord at all times, and that God would then be able to reward us with an eternity in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.